Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Kim Pagano Show. I'm your host, Kim, and I'm here with Tom Spence. How are you, Tom?
Everything's going great. Fabulous day, fabulous morning, and what a weekend.
There you go. We got lots to talk about. And I want to remind all of my new friends out there that have Facebooked me on The Kim Pagano Show. Thank you, and thank you for sharing my show with your friends. I want to remind you that I have two shows now. One is at 6 a.m. I call it my wake-up time. I'm waking up with Tom Spence, and also joining me is my husband, Lou. And if you miss any of those shows, you can always tune in to my website, which is kimpaganoshow.com, and listen to all my past shows there and also on iTunes. They're all downloaded on both of those. And if you would like to be a part of my show to spread the word about an event coming up, or if you have a business in the 805 that you want to spread the word, please give me a call at 805-419-0008 or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. We are talking today with Julie Schiffman, and her book is Act Three, and we will be talking about creating the life you want after your first career and parenthood. And you know, you're not right there yet, Tom, but it's kind of like, what's next for you after you've done your job, right, as a parent?
Yeah, what comes up? I'm in the sweet spot now. I got real youngsters.
So I know.
It'll be a little bit ahead.
Yeah, and mine are kind of like one foot in the door, and like, you know, I just got to eat here, but, you know, I'm out the door. So.
Laundry, food,
yeah,
other
you
services.
Remember. Yeah, exactly. I feel like kind of a hotel.
But, I indulged in the old days.
I'm sure we all did. We all did. So, and then our next guest is Barry Michaels, and he's going to be talking about the tools, and not the tools in your workbox, but the tools in your everyday life. These five tools that can help you find courage, creativity, willpower, and inspire you to live life in a forward motion. So again, if you're just joining us right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Let's bring our first guest on, Julie Schiffman, and her book, Act Three. Julie, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We talked, a couple of years ago on one of my shows, and I love what you do. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, I started at college. I was actually a ballet major, and ended up meeting this guy and following this guy, quitting ballet actually, following this guy to Colorado. And he wasn't even that great of a guy, which, you know, when you look back in retrospect on how you were as a younger person.
Oh,
you think,
here, and I was going to say,
and
it's funny, I was going to say, is that your husband?
But no.
Not okay when you made that comment. I was like, oh, God, I better not say no.
But actually, it's funny you say that, because the good news is, had I not ended up in Colorado, I wouldn't have met the great guy who did become my husband.
Okay.
We're having our anniversary next week, 28 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Wonderful.
That's great.
Right,
that's
right.
Great.
But I ended up in Colorado, went to law school, met my husband, had four kids, moved through New York, back to Cincinnati where I had grown up, and I had a really interesting law career, but I hit my probably early 40s, and I started thinking, you know, I just don't want to do this the rest of my life. But I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do, and there really wasn't anyone to help me say, you know, well, here's what your skills and talents are, and here's what you love to do, and now let's figure it out. So what ended up happening is I just jumped around trying all kinds of different things.
What kind of careers did you try in your time?
All right, well, so I had been a dancer, as I said, so I got certified to teach the New York City Ballet Workout, which was a brand new workout at the time. And I went around health clubs, and I taught that, which was really fun, but, you know, made zero money. Okay, so that was fun, but that wasn't going to be a long-term solution. And I have always been very involved in community work and known, you know, throughout all the nonprofit communities, so many of them were hiring me to do consulting projects. And that was really fun. Loved the project, loved the people I was working with. But again, the nonprofits really didn't have any budget to really pay me. So I still was doing things that just ultimately wasn't just the right thing. Had lots of good pieces to it. And I actually became an executive director of a nonprofit, and that was fun for a while. And coincidentally, around that time, my friends were all starting to empty nest. And these were women who had had interesting careers. They were highly educated, but they had chosen to stay home.
You know, let me interrupt you for 1 second. Okay, and if anybody's just joining us right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm your host here with Tom Spence on our board. And, you know, we're talking about Act 3. We're talking about, now, you said you're only 40, Julie, right?
No, I was at the time. I'm 54 now.
Right, but at the time, 40, you weren't empty nesting yet, were you?
No, I wasn't.
But you were like, okay, so you're early. You're already thinking of what you were going to do. Okay.
Well, so I had actually started law school when I was 20, so I sort of got a jump on my career a little earlier than a lot of people. And so I had been practicing law and was a partner in a large law firm at this time. So by the time I was, I guess it was like 41 or 42, I had been doing this career for 15 years. And that was when I started thinking, I just don't want to keep doing this the rest of my life. It's a, you know, obviously highly paid and has interesting days, but it just wasn't the right thing. And so I took that plunge and went off to try to find what might be the right thing.
Wow. And, you know, I think there's so many, you know, I started my career really early, too. In high school, I was doing hair, and I had already known what my passion was. And now, you know, since then, I have a construction company, obviously a radio show, and 4 children. And you do feel like there's a couple, like a cat. You have 9 lives, right? And so, you know, you want to make sure that you're living every day to the fullest, and that you're, you know, what's my next trick, right? Right. So how did you go from, where did you go from there?
So, as I was saying, so my friends were coincidentally starting to empty nest as they're hitting their 50s and late 40s, or at least were seeing their kids getting older enough to the point where they really didn't need their moms as much.
Yes.
And now the moms have free time, and they can see the future where being mom isn't going to be a primary job anymore. And they start asking themselves the question, these are my friends, all right, what am I going to do next? And I thought, wow, I wonder if there's a market for coaching services to women trying to figure out this question. So I started doing research and focus groups, and it turns out it's a huge demographic as the boomers are empty nesting.
Right.
And as you all know, those boomers are, you know, anytime you get boomers involved, those are big numbers. And there really was no one out there that had a company specifically focused on this demographic of women age 45 to 65 who were struggling to figure out what was going to come next in life.
Wow. And so true. I mean, you are, it's funny. It's like you think you know, it's kind of like a kid, right? You know everything and all of a sudden it's all new again. And now your life has changed. And now you're going, now what do I want to do when I grow up?
Right, right. Yeah. And while it's a tremendous opportunity when you go, wow, I've got all these wonderful years, it's also really scary because figuring that question out, like you said, how do I live this fulfilled life, can be overwhelming.
Yeah. So what are some of the things, and who are you working with right now?
You mean in terms of clientele?
Yeah, like clients, you know, women that, I mean, is it all empty nesters or is it, you know, like you were, you could foresee the future. And so, you know, I started a women's support group and we talk about, you know, different things that are coming up in our lives. And as a support, we, you know, you people that are, you know, women that have already been there. That's kind of like how you got your insight of all the empty nesters before you started this, correct?
Mm-hmm. So our clientele, I'd say it breaks down into about maybe 60% are the empty nesters. And those women, some want to go back to work, and they work with our career coach. And you really need a, really do need to have a really good career coach who knows how to write the resume today, knows how to create the networking plan, both on LinkedIn and offline, and can do all the career assessments. But then we have a lot of women that just want to make sure they're living their lives in a fulfilling way, and that doesn't mean work. So that's about 60%. The other 40% are people that come to us because they get referred by that 60%. So it might actually be the son who's age 25 who's still struggling to figure out what he wants to do and how to get a career going, because the process, honestly, is the same. We get referred husbands who've been laid off.
Me ask you, so you work with men too?
We do. Now, as any good business coach will tell you, you need to define your niche and stick with it. Mm-hmm. And so Act 3, if you look at our website, it's all pink. All the pictures are women. But, as I said, we don't turn away the men because the process is the same.
Right.
And so our workshops and seminars are all women. But that individual coaching, we work with a lot of men.
So what do you find that is so different for men as opposed to women in Act 3?
Again, it depends on the age. If you're talking about men, let's say men or women age 25, and they've just come out of college or graduate school and are trying to sort out what should my career be, there really isn't that much of a difference. But once you get into later life, and it's a difference of a woman who's been home 15 or 20 years versus a man who maybe has been downsized, there's tremendous differences, mostly in the self-confidence area.
Mm.
My women clients that have been home for 15 years really have such low confidence levels that they struggle to think that they're valuable to anybody.
Wow. And here they've done, you know, one of the biggest jobs is being a parent.
Right, but they'll say, how does that translate to anything?
Oh my God, multitask.
Right,
that's what
of
I
course.
Say, right? Yeah.
You understand.
I do. Four kids, let me tell you. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have to say, four kids, you know, one of my youngest sons says, Mom, four kids, you're already tired by the time you get to me. But you know what? Each child offers something different, a different personality and a different, and you have to be able to kind of work around it and help them get their needs, whatever it is, and then also the juggle. So, I don't know. I've seen so many women that really, underestimate what they can do.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And one of my jobs as a coach is just holding the mirror up and saying, okay, here's all these different things. And then they go, oh, yeah.
Wow.
I guess that I can do that. And it isn't just my coaching clients. I did a survey of women across the country before I wrote my book. And asked one of my questions was, what's going to hold you back? And lack of confidence was a huge answer. So it isn't just, my little, clients that I work with. It's pretty clear across the country that self-confidence is a big issue.
Now, did you ever have that yourself? And anybody that's just joining us right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Julie Schiffman. Her book and her business is Act 3. And she is basically, in the second part of your life is where you want to figure out what direction you're going. And so that's something that Julie does. Did you ever have that, something that held you back? What was it that held you back?
Oh, I certainly had things that held me back, but self-confidence was not one of them for me, and mostly because I have always been a career woman.
Okay.
And I think there is a big difference there. Because as a career person, you're constantly trying new things. Some work, some don't, but you're building confidence along the way that, I'm probably going to be able to figure this out.
Mm.
When you stay at home for 10 or 15 years, you tend not to push yourself and into new arenas, learning new things, stretching yourself, and you can get a little complacent.
Mm, I totally agree.
And it's that complacency that really wrecks your self-confidence, because if you haven't tried it, you don't know you're going to succeed, and so you're scared to try.
Tom, how does this affect men? We always look at the opposite side of what men are feeling too, in when you get to this point in your life.
There's an issue I have now. I'm also exactly 54, and one of the things that you realize being in radio is the pipe keeps filling up with young people. And you look at him and you say, even though I'm in good shape.
Yeah, he is.
I do look old.
You don't look old.
Well, you're next to a 24-year-old.
Yeah, well.
I know I can kick his butt.
You know what my daughter just said to me today?
And I know I can outlast him.
She said, Mom, I saw a picture of you and you were really young. What does that make me feel? Yeah. Like I'm really old now?
It comes up. So I think with guys and women, I'm reading a couple of the things as you were speaking here, like Marion's story, great story, how she got into, of all things, the car selling business for crying out loud, which a woman couldn't do.
Right.
Sort of. But she did quite well at it. And then Dana's story, a radio person. So
I don't know. I think women can sell good cars.
Back when Marion was starting in Texas, there was not a single woman selling cars.
The guy wanted to hire a broad, for crying out loud.
He was ahead of his times, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
But Tom, your point about, you know, how men feel when younger people are coming along, I mean, that's a really important point to pay attention to. You can't discount that. And, you know, looking old, feeling old, you know, luckily in radio, I assume it's not as big an issue as, for example, if you're in other forms of media like TV. But ageism is a factor.
Yeah, and one of the issues that we do run into is the mature adult, and it sounds like a cliche, but I'm living it right now, will show up more often. We take fewer sick days. I guarantee you, as far as being tenacious, being consistent.
You are absolutely right. Yes.
Kim, you're the same.
I am.
You have that work ethic. I do think we have a little, and people look at me and say, how does the old dude? I'll go out and I'll get here at 3:30 in the morning. I'll be at the gym at 2 in the afternoon.
I'm telling you, of all the people, I awe you. I have to just tell you. I text him late last night. He's still here. I just go to bed.
Yeah,
go to sleep.
I'm
going to
be at my kid's hockey tonight at 7:15.
And that's what we have, like that ever-running engine.
And I know women, men, we all do the same thing. I think with men, there's also, what am I going to do now? Whatever it is, I better not have to sit my butt across from a desk from a guy who's 30 who's going to need to hire me now. So I think we, like the women in your book that have been so successful, you must take it into your own hands. You have to
be
create
your
the
own
thing.
Advocate,
you're
right?
In charge.
Well,
yeah.
I think that, I have two thoughts. One is, and this is true for men or women, if you're going to stay relevant, you have to keep learning.
Oh, you know.
No matter what age you get, you know, if you're 55, you better still be learning. And whether that's going to classes or learning, you know, social media, whatever, you have to keep learning. The second thing I would say is, besides the fact that our demographic shows up and we have an amazing work ethic, the other thing we bring to employers, we do not bring drama to the workplace.
This is so true. You know what? I have learned, because I'm a hair therapist, when I go in, my life is over, and I start, you know, I'm on stage, just like here. You just go. I mean, you know, half the people really never know what goes on in my life, you know? And I think that's important.
Yeah,
right.
It's fake it till you make it, sort of. So if something's really hitting you hard, we're of the level where you come in, and it just doesn't matter. You take care of business as it's happening in that
That's
moment,
right.
And you can compartmentalize better, I think, as a mature adult.
Absolutely.
Right, and the other thing I mean by not bringing drama, we don't get caught up in who's dating who and, you know, all that kind of stuff, that water cooler discussion stuff that is disruptive and also takes time away from being productive.
Right. Julie, will you stay with us? We're going to take a really quick break from all of my sponsors, and when we come back, if you can give us some exercises that, you know,
sure,
that you've developed for, you know, my listeners. So stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. In fact, I'd like to give away two gift certificates to Soup Plantation, and let's give us a call at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. That's Soup Plantation. And again, we'll take caller number 7.
Blue jean baby, LA lady, seamstress for the band.
Stronghold Schools is an alternative learning program in Ventura for any parent whose child is not doing well or absolutely thriving in the current educational system that they're in. Stronghold is a way for that child to excel in every aspect of their life, whether it's academically, behaviorally, and overcome any challenge that they find themselves in. You can find us at Stronghold School Systems in Ventura, 805-830-5850, or visit us at our website, strongholdschools.com. Our motto at Stronghold Schools is that absolutely no child is broken, and they have the God-given right to overcome any challenge and any obstacle they find themselves confronted with, and our students do.
Debbie, wow, you look great. What have you done?
It's my plastic surgeon, Dr. Curtis Perry. He gave me my look back. He's also an award-winning sculptor.
You look so natural. I've been thinking about plastic surgery. Where is he?
He's in Agoura Hills, and his consultations are free. Call him. Here's his number, 818-661-0791.
You would never know. That's it. I'm calling today.
Dr. Curtis Perry, for all your cosmetic surgery with a sculptor's artistry. Call 818-661-0791. That's 818-667-0791. Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, and thank you for all the callers. I will definitely call our winner. Also, I want to remind everybody, June 2nd, Sunday, and a great event, Wine and Food Festival, all for a great cause, Casa Pacifica. It's their 20th anniversary, 1 to 5, and that is over at California State University, Channel Islands. And again, I have a pair of tickets to give away, so I know that several of you have called in for that, and we're just taking names, so just go on my Facebook at Kim Pagano Show and put your name in there and put win-win, which is Casa Pacifica Angels. All right, so we're talking right now with Julie Schiffman. Act 3 is her book and her business. And Julie, we were talking about exercises that we can do, my listeners and, of course, Tom and I, can do to really find out what, you know, to dream big and how to open up our minds to all those possibilities out there.
Right, so you mentioned the, you know, dreaming big, and the important part about that is we all have this little voice in our head that says, you know, you can't do that, you're too old, or you can't do that because you don't have enough money.
Wait, your voice says that too?
Everybody's got that little voice.
Right.
And, you know, your voice might say different things to you, but we've all got that voice telling you why you can't do things. So the first thing you got to do is shut the voice off.
Right.
And simply say to yourself, okay, at this stage, I'm just going to dream big. You know, no chance of saying, you know, well, this won't work. So what would you do if you couldn't fail? What are all those possibilities? And I have some exercises in the book to help you to sort of open your mind to all these possibilities.
I love it. So what?
So one of them is for the women out there, I say, okay, you know, if you wanted a new dress, for, you know, some big event you're going to, what you wouldn't just think, okay, there's only one possible dress that could only look good on me in the whole world. No, you know there's lots of possibilities. So what do? You go into stores and you try on a bunch of dresses and you look in magazines and you think, okay, what looks good on Sandra Bullock? And you look at TV and see what people are wearing. So you got to do the same thing when you're looking for what could be next. You open your mind, just like looking for that new dress, and start to think about it. When you pay attention, what are all these people in the world doing? You read magazines and newspapers with the idea of, I'm going to be looking for some things that interest me. So that's the first thing, is just simply being open to it. And then push yourself a little bit by reading magazines you wouldn't normally read. Read newspapers that you wouldn't normally read. You know, if you normally read your local newspaper, pick up the Wall Street Journal. If you normally watch Fox TV, watch MSNBC. Just switch things up and try and get a little perspective and see if a spark comes about.
Right. You know, one of my girlfriends does that, even with different groups and different volunteer things. She goes, I'm not committed. I just try everything on. I just try it on. I go see if that's a group that makes me feel better than I came. And that's kind of what I do is really you just keep trying different things. And if it feels good, then you keep going. And when it doesn't feel good, it's time to shift again. Right.
Well, I love the trying it on because that's exactly my dress. Yeah, you got to try it on. How are you going to know if it would look good if you don't at least try it?
Right.
So at this beginning stages, you got to try it all on. And then keep track of this because I don't know if you're like me, but I think of things and then 30 minutes later, I'm cooking dinner and it's gone. You have to keep a list going, whether it's a journal, if you actually like journaling, which some people do, some people don't. Even if you don't like journaling, you've got to have some way to capture your thoughts.
There you go. You know, I have, and of course, I haven't done it again. I always think when I'm learning about this and telling people, you know, you got to do it yourself. But I always carry around just an empty little notebook. And I just write my thoughts because I forget about those, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
So I have some people that actually dictate it into their phone. So whether you write it down.
Oh, there you go. That's
a
great idea.
Somehow you have to capture this information because you're going to forget.
Yes.
But then once you've got all these various possibilities and you've captured them for at least a month, then it's time to start thinking about, okay, what could actually possibly work for me? And so my suggestion is you go through that whole list and start to, you know, think about what jumps out at you that you think, wow, you know, that really sort of feels kind of interesting and good. And really start exploring that and see if you could create, you know, some strong desire, some passion about that particular topic or career or whatever it is. And then the third piece that has to go in there, just because you might love something, you have to have some kind of aptitude, some kind of talent for it. You know, I like to say I love to sing, but no matter how much training, I'm just not going to be very good at it.
Right. So you got to walk the walk and talk the talk, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So either you're already talented or second with enough skill, with enough teaching, you could get really good at it. So you combine the I love to do it with, yeah, I've actually got a good aptitude and I could be pretty good at that. You find that sweet spot, that's going to be something that's really interesting to pay attention to.
Wow, I love it. You're absolutely right. You know what? Great tips. I love talking with you, Julie. You really are an inspiration, and I love your book, Act 3, Create the Life You Want After Your First Career and a Full-Time Parenthood. And really, you know, you have motherhood, but it's really parenting, you know, and there's so many skills that can, like, you know, I mean, here, I never thought I would be doing a radio show, but really when I'm doing hair, I'm interviewing my clients all the time. And so it's something that you got to look at what crosses over, and now my clients are like, you should have done this your whole life. This is, you're so good at it. So there are things that you can do out there. The biggest message that I want to say is don't give up. Once you've done a job, you know, and your kids are going, don't feel lonely. Just start to embrace your life, and really you're worth it. I mean, that's what it's all about. Julie, thank you so much. Where do we find your book?
So the book can be found on my website, Act 3, the3spelledout.com. And if you buy it off my website, I'd be happy to actually sign it for you. You can also get it on Amazon and the Kindle versions on Amazon and at your bookstore.
You got it. Thank you so much, Julie, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
You
Bye-bye.
Got it. All right. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us because our next guest is Barry Michaels, and we're going to talk about tools. And again, I said that these are not the tools that you have in your toolbox. These are the tools for everyday life. And these five tools help you find courage, creativity, willpower, and inspiration. Inspire you to live the life in a forward motion. That's what we talk about here on the Kim Pagano Show. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the most sought-after ticket of the year. It buys you an all-inclusive, mouth-watering afternoon of fun. And it's all for a great cause. It's your admission to the Casa Pacifica Angels 20th Anniversary Wine and Food Festival. Tickets are on sale now for this celebration of food and drink on Sunday afternoon, June 2nd, on the campus of CSU Channel Islands. You can't possibly sample all the wines, beers, and delicious offerings from the over 100 vintners and 50 brewers or over 85 restaurants, caterers, bakeries, and specialty shops, but you and your friends will want to try. And just when you think you've had your fill, the music starts and you can dance the rest of the afternoon. Yes, the Casa Pacifica Angels Wine and Food Festival is that much fun. Tickets sell out every year, so buy yours today at CasaPacifica.org. That's CasaPacifica.org. Hosted by the Zarley and Van Heusen families with entertainment. Sponsored by The Patio at Players Casino and VIP Lounge. Presented by Wells Fargo. Sponsored in part by Gold Coast Broadcasting.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly target audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And Tom, great story. Great story. I love it. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm your host, Kim, and I'm here with Tom Spence, who always has a great story to talk about. I have to tell you that. Anyways, our next guest is Barry Michaels, and we're going to talk about the tools, and we're going to talk about how his tools can help us add value every day in every way. And we're going to find courage, creativity, willpower, and inspire your life to live in a forward motion. It's all about, you know, walking through those fears and putting one foot in front of the other. So let's bring Barry on. Barry, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you created this.
Well, I'm a therapist and an author. I've been working in Los Angeles as a therapist for about 25 years.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, when I first became a therapist, I kept seeing patients who were kind of demanding solutions. And
Fix me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And my training had taught me to kind of frown on that. You know, my supervisors would always say, don't give them solutions, just direct them, redirect them toward their past. As they discuss their past, they will come to the solutions on their own. And honestly,
it doesn't happen, does it?
No, it struck me as, I don't want to swear on air, but it just didn't seem like they're paying me money and they're in pain.
Right.
And I want to do something to alleviate their pain. Fortunately, I met a really kind of revolutionary psychiatrist named Phil Stutz, who had this toolbox of techniques. He called them tools that actually solved problems. Now, again, they weren't a magic bullet. You had to use them over and over again. But when I gave them to my patients, what I found was that they immediately started to feel better. And they started to feel better in two ways. Number one was they could take the tools that I gave them and use them during the week when I wasn't there. So there was something that they could actually do. It was a weapon they could use against their problems. And number two, the fact that they had that weapon gave them hope, which is in short supply in psychotherapy. Most people come to a psychotherapist because they've tried everything on their own, and they're hopeless about a solution.
Now, what sort of problems, you know, are people coming in for and with?
Well, there's everything. You know, relationships that are just so gridlocked in hostility that, you know, you look at the person and you hate them, you know, to people who have just kind of lost hope that there's that love is actually possible between them. There's avoidance. I mean, everybody that I have ever treated, everybody I know avoids something. We procrastinate starting things that we should start right now. We avoid getting exercise. We avoid dieting. We avoid moving to a new city or going up to somebody that we're attracted to or getting out of a bad relationship.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, and I'm right there with you. You know, I've got a wedding coming up, and I'm trying my hardest to lose weight and try to, you know, get things done. And every day I go, it's another day. Another day. Why haven't I, you know, handled that? And I am about putting five things on my list, checking it off, taking one thing that I really don't want to do and trying to get that done. And it's still hard.
It's very hard. And one of the, I think, insights in the book is that it's hard because you have to be honest about these tasks that you avoid. The tasks themselves aren't really that difficult, but there's a little bit of pain associated with them. When you, for example, have to deprive yourself of something you want to eat because you want to lose weight, there's a little bit of pain in that. The pain of deprivation. I'm not good at confrontations. When I have to confront someone, there's a little bit of fear in that. Fear is a type of pain. What we do in the book is try to get away from the details of what you're avoiding and just try to get you to identify the specific pain that you're avoiding, whether it's shame, humiliation, fear, or any other type of discomfort that you're avoiding. And we teach you how to drive yourself through that discomfort so that you can accomplish the things you want to accomplish in your life.
Okay, that sounds good. Now,
So, I mean, we're talking about getting unstuck, right? Controlling anger.
Yes.
Expressing yourself, right?
Yes.
The anxiety of to stop worrying, right? And the negative thinking.
Yes.
And find discipline.
Exactly. Those are the five basic areas, the five basic problems that we address in the book, because those are the problems that Phil and I see recurring most frequently in our practices.
So,
Tom, and a lot of people, by the way, have more than one problem. I mean, I have all five of those problems.
I think we kind of all do a little bit, right?
You
know, and I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm here with Tom Spence, and we're talking right now with Barry Michael. And he's got tools for us, and it's called, his book is called The Tools, Five Tools to Help You Find Courage, Creativity, and Willpower and Inspire You to Live Life in a Forward Motion. Tom, I did this with him on my pre-interview. So maybe, is there something that's bothering you?
Oh, everything. I think I'm in the same thing as Barry with each thing by degree, but probably when I look at what's going on here, anger certainly pops up with me. You know, and there is an issue. Not that I really want to punch somebody, but you get that inner angst that it's very fierce. And I think that comes up a little bit. Like, okay, weekly reports. I don't call 911 once a week and tell them everything's fine. So sometimes I get mad at my boss.
Right.
And I'll say, you didn't put in your weekly report. It's just, there's some of that day-to-day grind stuff. I have this, I want to avoid it, this avoidance thing.
Yeah,
when
there
I
you
think,
go.
You know
yeah.
what, dang it, just do the report.
And be
I
done,
I don't know if there's
right?
a defiance in, you know, it's a weird thing that I'm kind of, everything's okay.
What are weekly reports? What is that?
The weekly report would be saying, this is what happened, this is what I did, and this is go. And to me, it's just that minutia mass of garbage that we've gotten ourselves into.
Got it.
And I'll look at it and I'll just say, and plus, I think
it's that repetition, right, of everyday life, right?
And it's like, oh, look what I did, look what I did. Instead of, is everything okay? Great. You know, the report will happen when you find out that I just didn't show up.
Because, right.
Well, am I correct, Tom, that the what you're avoiding is tedium?
Precisely.
It's the tedium of, so for me, that would be like writing notes on patients. I hate doing that.
And it's, to me, it's false work, too. Well, I put in my weekly report. And
and how is it going to
so
how is it going to change your life if you didn't write? There you go.
Yeah, where's the outcome? And that is an odd thing for me, but I also understand
that
for a paper trail at the end of a couple of years, if somebody looked, they'll say, "Wow, look what he did. He's got all this behind him."
It's
some
needed.
Kind of proof, and I
right.
see the practicality
right.
of it, but it is a grind.
So
now,
Barry, how can you help us?
Yeah, let me say two things about this first. Although it seems as though there's no value in learning how to do weekly reports, just as there, it doesn't seem like there's much value in my, you know, writing down notes on patients, there is value in it. And I want to point that out in advance. It's not because the weekly reports are so important, but it's because most of life, and certainly anything that you want to accomplish in life, is going to involve a high volume of tedium. I mean, even really inspiring work involves a lot of tedium.
Well, Barry, you shared with me that you're a writer, right? And you hate to write, right?
I write really inspiring stuff, but I hate writing. I hate the process of sitting down by myself and coming up with ideas. So what I'm saying is that if we can teach you, Tom, how to drive through tedium and just get it done, it's not the benefit to you will not just be that you get your weekly reports in on time. It'll be that a lot of other things in life will open up to you and become possible, because everything in life involves a certain amount of tedium.
And if I could give you another one that's funny and it kind of...
Wait, we only have a little bit.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
How much time do we have?
I know.
Let's do the math. But the other thing, I like running. But I like racing.
Yeah.
Training for races is boring.
Yes.
If they could have a 5K every day, I would be so in. Because I like that. But for me, like, if I think I've got to go do five today,
So let me ask you a question. In school, did you ever do homework?
No,
you just showed up and did the test really good, right?
One of my teachers always said you love to ad lib because you're lazy.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
He said you're spontaneous and you're lazy.
Yeah.
And he said you use your spontaneity to help you be lazy.
So imagine what would happen if you were so disciplined that you could drive yourself to practice running, to do your weekly reports, and to do things that set you up so that your spontaneity is actually a strength in these situations that you've set up in advance. I mean, it would clearly change your life in significant ways. And the reason I'm pointing that out is because most people think of the problem in isolation, like, I can't do a weekly report, and they don't realize that when they avoid that, they're actually holding themselves back in lots of different ways. Now, do you want me to teach you the tool that gets you to push your, let me say it really clearly. I can teach you a tool that will get you to do your weekly reports, and if you use it over and over again, it will get you to do all tedium.
Please.
Including running. Okay, I'm ready.
Including running. Great. So close your eyes for a second, and just imagine the next weekly report you have to write, and just imagine starting to do it. Just imagine it enough so that you can feel the unpleasant feeling that you feel at having to do it. So as you pointed out, there's some anger, and there's like a resistance, right?
Yes.
Good. You want to say anything else about how you're feeling right now?
Here we go again.
Good.
What am I going to make up? What does this guy want to hear?
It's meaningless.
What is a bullet?
Perfect.
I don't want another one.
Perfect. Now, forget about what you're thinking. Just feel that pain in your gut. It's an uncomfortable feeling, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're avoiding. And it sounds like you've avoided that for most of your life. You avoided it in school as well. Take that feeling, and I know this sounds a little weird, but just go with me here. Take that feeling and just push it out in front of you and give it the form of a big, black, dark cloud. It's essentially a cloud of pain, and we're going to teach you how to go through that cloud and come out the other side.
Are you ready for this ride?
I'm ready to be birthed.
Cool. There we go. Now, the first step is I want you to generate a very strong, aggressive, angry force inside of you that just says, bring it on. I'm sick of this cloud stopping me from getting what I want in my life. So silently scream to yourself, bring it on, and feel yourself moving into that cloud with determination. Step two is keep up the forward motion. You're in the center of the cloud now. You are completely immersed in this pain. And I just want you to silently say to yourself, I love pain. Not because you're a masochist, but because you have to become completely one with pain in order to put it behind you.
Okay, he's doing it right now.
Great. Step three is, through no effort of your own, I want you to feel the cloud spit you out. It's now propelling you forward. This is effortless on your part. You're flying. You're just soaring now. You're completely free because the pain is behind you. And I want you to say to yourself, pain sets me free.
Okay. Where are you at, Tom?
Got it.
How does that feel?
Good. It's,
he had smoke coming out of his ears.
Booming out. And it's what I have to attend to. And I know it's not maybe unusual, and some people say, well, what's the big deal? But I think everybody's got their thing.
Everybody.
And those things are what I have. And the other, and we don't have to get into this, but I noticed when I was a kid, I liked irony, even as a very, very young child. And I loved Woody Allen movies.
Uh-huh.
And there's in Annie Hall, when the police officer gives him the ticket and he tears up and he says, I really, really have issues with authority. And he rips up the ticket and he ends up in jail. And I'm thinking, you know, that's like me, the defiance to take it to a point. And I know, frankly, absolutely, I don't think it's cute. I know it's silly.
Yeah.
And I know it takes away. But in the moment, it feels right.
Yes.
And it's that blank authority type of a thing that is a curious feature that a lot of us have. So
you're really getting to a kind of a deeper level of the tool, because Look, the truth is, life has a lot of great things in it, but it always has some pain in it. And so in a certain way, pain is a ubiquitous authority over all of us. It's inescapable.
You're so true. You know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm here with Tom Spence, and we're talking right now with Barry Michaels, and his book is The Tools, and we're talking about, you know, different things that can help us in our lives. He is a therapist, a psychotherapist, and he's learned some great things to help. You mostly deal with the entertainment industry, right?
I do, a lot.
Right. And so, you know, it's kind of like what Tom and I were talking about, is you kind of have to fake it till you make it, you know? I mean, especially if you're on stage all the time and you have to get through these. So these are some tools that you can get through. Mine, I want to talk about, but we're going to take a really quick break, is focusing on your work and how to bring back that creativity. And because I've got, you know, four kids, a couple businesses, and I still love doing this. But when I sit down to do my work, I only have a little bit of time and I can't get it done. So anyways, if we could talk about that, stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.
It's the most sought-after ticket of the year. It buys you an all-inclusive, mouth-watering afternoon of fun. And it's all for a great cause. It's your admission to the Casa Pacifica Angels 20th Anniversary Wine and Food Festival. Tickets are on sale now for this celebration of food and drink on Sunday afternoon, June 2nd, on the campus of CSU Channel Islands. You can't possibly sample all the wines, beers, and delicious offerings from the over 100 vintners and 50 brewers, or over 85 restaurants, caterers, bakeries, and specialty shops, but you and your friends will want to try. And just when you think you've had your fill, the music starts and you can dance the rest of the afternoon. Yes, the Casa Pacifica Angels Wine and Food Festival is that much fun. Tickets sell out every year, so buy yours today at CasaPacifica.org. That's CasaPacifica.org. Hosted by the Zarley and Van Heusen families with entertainment. Sponsored by The Patio at Players Casino and VIP Lounge. Presented by Wells Fargo. Sponsored in part by Gold Coast Broadcasting.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And we're talking right now with Barry Michaels, and we're talking about tools, the tools that can help you with your everyday life. Michael, you know, what's your response from so many people reading your book and using your tools?
I'm happy. Yeah. And it makes me really happy.
Yeah. Now, even Dr. Oz, right? You have this on the top of your book. This blew my mind more than anything else I learned this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is it? Are people, like, the first time they do it, or is it, you know, you have to do it a couple times? Is it?
You have to do it a lot. And I think one of the things that we've been amazed really resonates with people is, look, there are a lot of self-help books out there, and there are a lot of programs out there, diet programs, exercise programs, fitness programs. We are, to my knowledge, the first book that acknowledges that everybody quits. Everybody starts these programs.
Right.
And then everybody quits them.
Right.
And nobody tells you how to anticipate that you're going to quit and what to do about it.
Right. You know, I think one of the biggest things for me, and, you know, there's things that you do every single day. You know, I've been doing them for years. And then somebody will say something like, oh, why don't you make a template for that? You know, that's kind of what I was saying to Tom about his thing is, and I go, oh, my God, why didn't I think of that? You know,
right.
So I really think sometimes we make these huge mountains out of things, and it's time to, like, get rid of our mountains, or, you know, and just walk through what we can do to try to simplify our problems, correct?
Yes, and that's one of the things that I like about the tools is that it keeps you in the present. In the present, there's usually something I have to do, There's a problem, which is I don't want to do it, and there's a solution, which is I use a tool and get myself to do it.
Right. Now, in your book, I'm seeing inner authority. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Now, inner authority is about insecurity. It's really about, in other words, I've never known a person who isn't insecure. And by the way, I treat some celebrities who, if you saw them in photos or movies or whatever, you'd think there's no way this person is insecure because they come across as so confident. I'm here to tell you that every single person I've ever treated is deeply insecure. I'm deeply insecure.
Why is that? And I mean, you know, it's funny. I've been doing my show for 4 years, and still I want it to be the best. I want to make sure I've got listeners. I want to make, you know, I mean, I guess if you're not feeling that way, you're not doing your best.
Well, I think that insecurity is universal because we all have an image of what we should be. And then we judge ourselves against that image, and we focus on our lacks, on our failures, on our imperfections.
That's that negative voice that keeps saying, you know, why do you think you should be doing this, right?
Exactly, exactly. And Carl Jung, who is a great Swiss psychiatrist and on whose work we draw a tremendous amount, had this concept of the shadow. The shadow is actually a being. I know it sounds strange, but this is a being living inside of you who is the accumulation of everything that you've ever been ashamed of.
Mm.
And most of us are not aware of it, but when we get in front of other people, what we do is we try to hide our shadow because we're afraid that other people are going to see it. Now, when you're hiding your shadow, you can't express yourself with any authority at all because you're too busy scrutinizing the audience to see, are they seeing my shadow? I'm terrified.
Well,
they're going to see my shadow.
And who is that? Who is it that you were talking about?
Carl Jung. He was a great Swiss psychiatrist, really the father of depth psychology.
Hmm.
And he came up with this whole notion of the shadow. I think Phil Stutz and I have taken the concept further, and we give you a way of working with the shadow, really essentially making friends with it, so that if you feel good about your own shadow, then you don't care what anyone else thinks of you. And that's the definition of confidence.
Wow. I mean, that really resonates with me. I was just at a conference. I had a guest, Joe Dispenza, on my show a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about for every negative and negative thought that we think of, and you know, every morning we wake up and we have that same thought, and then it goes another day, and then it goes another week. And he gave an instance, you know, that you're married for all these years, and then all of a sudden, you know, your husband or your wife go away with somebody, and you're frustrated, and you're upset, and you feel insecure, and now you know, oh my God, poor me, I'm not going to ever do anything. And years go by.
Yes.
And you feel that. You've branded that thought into your mind, and you can't get away from it, because when we try to change those thoughts, what happens is we feel uncomfortable. It's like, wait, it feels good to feel these thoughts. Well, it's really because you're trying to move away from that uncomfortable feeling.
Yes.
And so talk to us, you know, and we're wrapping it up at the last of our show, but do you agree with that?
I do, and I love that word that you used, branded, because I think of my shadow as a real being living inside of me. And essentially what I and most people have done is they have branded their shadow with a brand that says loser.
Yes.
And
when
you've got that living inside of you, how can you possibly expect yourself to be confident or to express yourself with any authority? And the key is you can't get rid of your shadow. What you can do is change the relationship with it so that it is bonded with you and connected with you. I love my wife and I love my kids, but my shadow and I are as tight as any relationship I have in my life.
Oh, I love it. And you sound like you are your own support team and your own cheerleader. And that's what this is all about. You know, where do we find your book, Barry?
The paperback came on sale today.
Amazon.
It's at Barnes & Noble. I mean, it's easy. You Google the tools and you'll find it.
I love it. I want to have you back. I mean, there's so much more to talk about. The tools, 5 tools to help you find courage, creativity, and willpower and inspire you to live life in a forward motion. Thank you so much, Barry Michael.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Gosh, Tom, great show.
Great show.
Yeah.
Both sides. We heard it. Barry was outstanding. And for all you women out there, in the very beginning,
yeah, Julie Schiffman,
change.
Act 3, right? I mean, but not only
and guys, you can mimic and mirror this this same program.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, I want to remind you, if you've missed any part of this show, you can go to my website at kimpaganoshow.com and also on iTunes, Kim Pagano Show. Also, thank you for being my friend on Facebook. I love to hear everything that's going on in the 805. And, of course, I end my show with a thought for your week. And you're not going to live forever, so create something that will. And remember, it's a good day to have a great day, so now go climb your mountain. That's what this is about. You know, get to the top and make it the best. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'll talk to you later. Have a great one.